just be the start of a dynasty. This is history being written. The greatest moment I've seen in Premier League football.
Hi, welcome back to Across the Pond, a Premier League show hosted by four Americans. Tonight you have three. I am the only member down in D.C. tonight. Unfortunately, Chris cannot join us due to personal circumstances in D.C. Sorry, Chris. Hope everything's, you know, good.
Personal.
It's personal, isn't it? I don't want to tell your story. You can tell.
Well, now it is. Now it's personal.
Okay. I'm sorry if I told too much. But you are in Michigan. Chris is in Michigan. Miles is still our international correspondent. In
Buenos
Aires,
out in the field,
he's working. He's getting that. He's working for his airtime.
You farming, Miles? You farming down there?
I'm farming.
So, Chris, you wanted to give a little context about?
Oh yeah,
last week.
So, of course, not being the host of the show is just always weird. Shay, enjoy your time while you got it. But just to all the listeners, just wanted a quick shout out from me. Last week, I had a little issue with some audio, so I did hit you guys with a quick pump fake fade away at the end of last week's episode. So we're not going to do that anymore. This is going to be a full-fledged episode with some parts, some segments, some variation. You're going to get it all today.
Well, you're assuming, Chris, two things. You're assuming, one, my phone doesn't die before the pod's over, and two, assuming that my audio recording actually works. So, you know, if you guys are here,
we'll see if you can hold down the fort.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't give away our trade secret, Shay.
And we're on video for the first time ever.
Hey,
since I moved back to DC.
Yeah, you can see Miles in fog cloud.
I don't think we've ever done video though.
Yeah,
thank God.
It doesn't look like I'm really missing much, to be honest. I think we can stop the video next time. So, first, let's start with the news that everyone has heard, the very unfortunate news about Leicester City. As you guys know, the Leicester City owner died in a plane crash along with four of the members, I believe. Helicopter crash along with four of the members in the parking lot of the stadium this past weekend, which is very unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to make this show into a sad news report show. I mean, obviously, it's super sad news. I don't think any of us should even try and say the chairman's last name, considering our track record with last names on this show. So we're not going to even pronounce the Leicester City chairman's last name. But obviously, it's super sad moment. But I think to kind of take it away from sad coverage, maybe we should just talk about maybe some of our favorite Leicester moments, favorite moments under his ownership.
I'm the host this week, so you know I get to sit back.
That's true. You got to delegate.
Yeah,
that's true.
You
know, I was reading today just how much I didn't realize how much the owner did for fans and the city of Leicester. I didn't know how much money he gave to hospitals, how he provided the fans with free booze and transport for away games. It just seems like, you know, he was doing a lot to kind of revitalize that team in many different ways. And I think that's, you know, certainly we know he bought all the players when they won the league, those real fancy cars. And,
yeah,
and I think, you know, I think, you know, he did a lot more than just be the chairman. So I think that's very admirable of him, and that will be missed, I think. I don't know any other sports chairman that has done things like that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Premier League title seems to stand out as a huge success in addition to what he's done for Leicestershire and that community as well. I mean, I think to me it's comforting to see a foreign owner have such a good reputation and rapport amongst, you know, amongst an English club. I think you've seen a lot of, I mean, you just look at some of the relationships that foreign owners have had at clubs and how tumultuous it can be sometimes because of the culture shock. I'm thinking of specifically Hicks and Gillette at Liverpool. You know, that was a really rough instance. You know, Arsenal situation hasn't been great amongst fans. So, you know,
Glazers.
To me, it is really sad, and to see, you know, all the players post their memories on Twitter and stuff. I think that's really cool to see, and he obviously meant a lot to the community.
Yeah, I was gonna go with them winning the Premier League, obviously, and then getting the Beamer concept model, two door. I forgot the name of the model, but
hey,
yeah,
oh yeah, it was the BMW i8, yeah,
yeah, the i8. So you know, it's just
and
like,
what's crazy is they were all lined up in the parking lot. You can Google a picture of the BMW i8 at Leicester.
Yes,
they were all Leicester blue, all crazy. Lined up in the parking lot. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, you can tell. I mean, one, it's a matter of them just being so excited that happened that. Obviously, you know, no gift could have been good enough for that team, but you could just tell that this is such a big deal to them, even, you know, even though they knew they had been playing their hearts out the whole season, because, you know, if Manchester United was to win, which they won't, but if they were to win the Premier League tomorrow, no one's getting anything over a single dollar of their paycheck. So, you know, it's just for, that shows you how much it meant for Leicester City and how much it meant for the city. So,
well. And I mean, obviously N'Golo Kanté got this car, but he's still driving around his Mini Cooper, even in Chelsea.
Well, did he get the car? I'm not sure if he did.
Yeah, he got the car.
He got the car? Okay. Because I know he left.
He left after. Yeah.
I think they all got the car.
He's a modest man.
Yeah. but all jokes aside, all laughter aside, it is really sad for the sport, sad for the fans. I appreciate the fact that the different Premier League teams took a moment of silence for him. Sad day indeed.
I mean, this is just a question just because I'm actually pretty curious. I mean, do most owners fly in via helicopter? I mean, I'm not saying – yeah, I mean, it just seems like a pretty dangerous thing to do. Because I hear this is something he did pretty consistently, I think.
Yeah, that was a little strange to me too. But, I mean, I don't know any helicopter statistics, so – you know, unfortunately, this is not my area of expertise, but I don't think it's a very dangerous thing, is it? It's more just I just think it's weird that you would use that in United Kingdom because it's so small. So it's not really hard to get around. But that's why I was surprised by it, to be honest.
He does own he did own another club in Belgium as well. So maybe, you know, just his way of getting around.
Yeah. It does seem a little strange, but hey, you got money, you spend it, right?
Yeah. Moving on. To other topics today. Chris, you unfortunately, or fortunately, I mean, depending on how the game went, I saw the extended highlights. Miles, you did too, but you were the only member on the pod right now who was able to watch the Tottenham Man City game, which is on during the working hours. So if my boss is listening, I was dedicated in front of the laptop working hard. You know, what is your talking points from that fixture? Are you surprised by the result? I don't think so, but, you know, I'll ask you that question. Are you surprised by the result?
No. I mean, I think a 1-0 victory for City is pretty, I thought was, somewhat deserved, and not that surprising. I think the game, you know, there were opportunities on both ends. I think that could have gone well for either side, but I don't know. This game had so much to it, outside of the football alone. I mean, let's not forget. Or if you didn't watch the game, you know, or if you were on Twitter, following Twitter, I mean, this game was played at Wembley. Let's not forget Tottenham is still playing home games at Wembley.
That's crazy.
They were playing on an NFL pitch Yeah. I mean, straight up, this was a football field with white lines, white football lines on it. Both football lines on it, a big NFL emblem in the center, and a bunch of dirt tracks from the center between the hashes and where football players stand, American football players stand on the sidelines. So, I mean, it was just a complete embarrassment, I think, for Tottenham. A lot of fans didn't show up or left early just due to the field conditions. And frankly, it was really difficult to watch. It reminded me of, you know, watching rec soccer in D.C., quite astonishing at the level of quality. I mean, they could have just gone down the street and play. I'd rather them play at Stamford Bridge than play at Wembley in these conditions.
Yeah, and do you think, I mean, that's because, and let's get some context why, that's because the Eagles played in Wembley this past Sunday, right?
So they
obviously, you know, roughed up the field a little bit.
And, you know, I mean, obviously Spurs' new stadium will have this sort of retractable NFL field when games do come over or whatever. That's part of the plans. And clearly, who knows when that stadium is going to be open. But this was an instance where Spurs knew that, you know, they were going to be playing at Wembley. They knew an NFL game was there before. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, I'm not excusable.
Poor planning from
especially
from the
with
club,
such a big game. I mean, come on. You don't want to be advertising what is, you know, possibly one of the biggest matchups in the Premier League right now. You don't want to have the NFL logo in the center circle. I think that's just, you know, even as an American, it makes me feel embarrassed because, you know, people are going to be hating on the NFL, and it just makes us look bad as Americans and, you know, like supporters of the NFL, and it makes Spurs look bad as a host team that is hosting. So, you know, what a big game to have.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, Miles. I don't think it was a win situation for anybody, not the NFL, nor was it for Tottenham, that's for sure.
I mean, here's what Pep had to say. I mean, he said it was a great victory in special conditions. You know, it was not football conditions to play. We reacted well for our players and players of Tottenham. Hopefully they will sort out the problem for the future. I mean, this is something on everybody's minds. I can't even imagine if you were, you know, a Harry Kane or if you're one of the top players on Man City sitting there, you know, warming up in this. You've got to be like, what is happening right now? Is this a joke? How can you focus on the game when you have, you know, I mean, look at some of the pitches they play on, you know, at their home stadiums. I mean, we're talking about grass that is literally hand trimmed by like experts with magnifying glasses. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, I think the groundsman might be in trouble after that fixture. But I also saw, sorry, Miles, before you go into it, Tottenham's new stadium will not be ready till 2019, which is, I mean, you would assume so because we're only a month and a half removed away from 2019. But that date in 2019 has not been set. So at this point, you know, depending on how Tottenham does in Champions League, you might as well wait to the next season.
Well, we actually had a listener question from Twitter. Our very own friend of the pod, Jack Grimsey, asked, when will Tottenham Stadium be finished? Jokingly, I mean, you say 2019. For me, construction projects are always delayed. I'm going to go on popular opinion and say, like, the holidays next year.
Damn. What?
Damn, yeah.
He said finished. So I'm saying, like, maybe they don't have like full concession stands or full stands completed. Something's going to be still ongoing until Christmas next year.
Well, you heard it here first from our international grounds analyst. one of the many titles that we have on this pod. But Miles, I interrupted you. So what were you going to say earlier?
Yeah, looking at the game, Chris, I wanted to ask you how much was Spurs missing the presence of Eriksen and Ali, both of whom have been out for a little bit due to injury. Both of them came in late. What did you make of their absence in the game?
I mean, I definitely think their value is clear. City is such a good team that if you aren't strapped up with your, you know, best lineups, I think, you know, you're gonna struggle. However, I think Winks stepped up. I think they had some players that played pretty well. I thought Lamela got into some positions that were quality. It put a little too much pressure on Harry Kane. We saw Harry Kane take a few shots from deep out, and I think that he wasn't on as closely as he usually is. And you know, in a 1-0 game, you really need your best lineup out there.
Mm. Yeah, and but City didn't play their best lineup either, though. They had De Bruyne on the bench, Sané on the bench, Jesus on the bench, Kompany on the bench, and I'm surprised actually, Mahrez. You know, when I thought Mahrez fixture on the team was going to be a temporary season, as the season progresses, he was going to find himself on the bench. It seems to be a reoccurring thing. But what I was going to say is that I'm surprised in this game that it wasn't right for Son to come in, you know, with Eriksen being out and Ali not starting, Son to come in and show how dangerous he is going forward, right? With him and Lucas.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Kane, that would have been dangerous.
Why do you think Pochettino dropped Ali and Eriksen? This case, I mean, he went with Dier, Dembele, Sissoko.
Well, aren't they still recovering from injury? I think they're just coming back. I know Ali's been out for a little bit.
I just wonder if you guys thought it was more of like a pragmatic approach.
I am surprised that Son didn't get into that game, especially maybe I understand maybe you want to play Sissoko as more, you know, kind of act as a defensive cover on those wings against the likes of Mahrez and Sterling, but I am surprised, you know, when you're chasing the game late on. I mean, they were chasing that game pretty much the whole time. You know, City scored very, very early in the game, sixth minute.
Wait, can we talk about this for a second? The goal?
Surprise, Son didn't come
because,
in.
Because, I mean, this dude Shea has been talking to Trippier for how long? And this dude Trippier, I haven't seen a defender look so stupid on a play in a long time. I mean, it was a classic example of defender guessing and not defending. I mean, he actually tried to guess where Raheem Sterling was going to go and failed miserably. I mean, it looked like he just – it looked like a FIFA move.
Well, it depends who's playing FIFA. But yes.
Shay, you set yourself up for that one, dude.
I know. Hey, listen. No, I'm not above making fun of myself. Yeah, look. No one's perfect, right? We've seen mistakes from players. We saw a mistake from Pogba this weekend, and he's world-class. So, I mean, Chris, you watch the game, so you can tell me if I'm wrong here. But it looked like City deserved to win that game no matter what. So, you know, I don't think Trippier's mistake really, you know, yesterday cost them the goal, but I don't know if it would necessarily cost them the loss.
I'll tell you what, for a home game for Spurs, they have to be irritated that the field even played a part in that. I mean, that should not be a distraction. Spurs, I think, are a good enough team that they should have been able to challenge City today, and unfortunately, just couldn't get it done.
Yeah. Well,
so go ahead, let's get a quick prediction. You guys think Spurs are going to finish outside the top four?
I think so.
No, I still think they'll finish in the top four, but I don't think it's going to be without. They're going to have to fight for it. So.
Yeah. I thought if Arsenal had won this weekend, I would have thought for sure Spurs won't even be close. Arsenal can even potentially come winter season, you know, winter time, but challenge for that title. But I don't think that anymore. But I don't see Tottenham beating the likes of Arsenal, even maybe if by some miracle the Red Devils get their act together.
Okay, we got to move on then.
Okay.
We're not talking about that.
Yes.
Let's transition away from this United topic before we get too deep.
So, please, Chris, we can't even talk about that crap.
Chris, since it's my pot this week, do I get to choose the outro or the break music? I'm going to send you some suggestions. But when we come back after this dope music, y'all are going to hear some even hotter takes on ATP, the Hot Take Podcast. We'll be right back.
Oh, God.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, and we're back. Hope you like that song. Miles, you got a couple questions for us? I hope it's something good and something we can comprehend that's not in Spanish.
So, guys, we've seen Ross Barkley scoring 3 goals in 3 consecutive Premier League games. This puts him tied with world-class player Paul Pogba, who also scored.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. We came back with the bank with even worse takes. With worse takes than when we left.
No, my question for you guys is, do we see Barkley breaking into the starting lineup of Chelsea?
Look, I don't know if it's a system thing, again, because we saw Victor Moses flourish under Chelsea last couple of seasons, but as a player who has been neglected for the last couple of seasons, I think Barkley looks sharp. And it's only to the benefit of England if he's playing at this form level. And I hope he even changes his nationality and comes back to Nigeria. We'll take him with open arms.
Yeah. This might be the first time ever I agree with Shay on something. But, I mean, I think Shay's right in this sense. I mean, you look at even just what Barkley's done on paper. He's on pace to have his best season ever. He's only 24 years old. Clearly, Sarri likes him. He's started multiple games this season already, but I think it's going to be more of a rotation. You know, we're going to see Kovacic still get into that lineup. I feel really bad for Loftus-Cheek, even though he scored this week. You know, he could play in that role too, but it doesn't hurt to have Barkley there. I made a joke this weekend actually that I think nearly anybody who's a competent center midfielder could play in that role and do pretty well. So, I mean, shit on myself there.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
see what I can do, I guess.
That's a bold statement, but okay.
I mean, but in all honesty, I mean, Barkley did have a nice goal this weekend. But I think the role is pretty much set up for him. As long as Morata or whoever's playing in front of him, Giroud, as long as those guys can perform, Chelsea will be okay. If, you know, Morata or Giroud have an off week, like they, at least Morata's been having off weeks, Barkley's not going to cut it in that role. You need more from Hazard if that's the case, but
okay, all right.
Another Barkley look-alike, I think, or at least they're somewhat similar looking, that has also been flourishing, you know, off the bench is our own, you know, thick Messi. Chris, what about Shaqiri? Does he need to be in that starting lineup at Liverpool? Dude's looking good.
You mean thick Shaqiri? No, I still don't think Shaqiri is in the starting lineup on our best day. But I also think Klopp is playing to matchups. I think we've seen both Shaqiri and Fabinho make incredible appearances. Lallana was in the lineup this weekend. I think Liverpool, if you're a Liverpool fan, you should be very excited about the depth you're seeing in all tournaments. As long as Jordan Henderson isn't playing every game, I think we should be okay. And Alberto Moreno. No, thank you.
Yeah, pass.
I've got some listener questions for today, though, guys. Should we run through some of those?
Yeah.
Love them. My favorite part.
Let's get into those, Chris.
So on the Twitter front, moving towards Twitter, on the Twitter front, we've got a ton of listener questions. Thank you to everybody who's been contributing questions. Sorry we lost some last week. So I'll bring some last week's into this week, plus this week. So here we go. First one here from Dan DeRocha, old friend of the pod, watching MLS, Red Bulls with a record year. No from me.
I think the biggest storyline is DC United, but yes.
Me on no, come yeah, on. Watching. Well, I do love Red Bulls, Dan. You know, let's go to a game sometime.
This one from Mick Chudia. I don't even know how to say that on Twitter. Hey. Best midfield combination in the Premier League. Who you got?
Oh, good question, my man.
Are we talking? Okay.
No, just, you define it.
Yeah, Miles. You define it.
I don't want to hear that. I'm actually going to go with Chelsea. I know we were talking about it last week. You guys were criticizing the fact that Conte plays high, but mm-hmm. I think Jorginho, Conte, and whoever that third person is, either Kovacic or Barkley, week in, week out, I think gives you an excellent midfield. Obviously, Man City from a personnel standpoint, and Liverpool too. But Chelsea, for some reason, this new look to me is exciting.
Yeah, I'm still going to go with Eriksen and whoever else is next to him or in front of him. If it's Ali, Wijnaldum. Wanyama? I'm sorry. I'm getting confused.
Excuse me?
I'm thinking tired of looking at Liverpool.
It sounds like you're just creating a random all-star team. This dude almost said Windex. Like,
no. Yeah.
So wow. I'm going to go with Tottenham with the best because I just think Eriksen is a game-changing player. I think most people would say City with David Silva and Kevin De Bruyne, right? Is that what you're going to say, Miles?
Yeah, I think, yeah. And don't forget Fernandinho in there. He scores some great goals. He's also an amazing center D. Defensive midfielder. I think it's got to be City. It feels like a cop-out, but come on. The talent there. And, you know, without David Silva, you have Bernardo Silva, Gundogan that fit in there. That's just a powerhouse midfield.
Yeah, well, it is a cop-out. Okay, next question, Chris.
Okay, next question.
We're running low on power here, so let's
Jay Fuller Devlin, biggest glow up of 2018, Martial or Shaw?
Ooh.
Biggest blow up? Meaning
Martial.
Like, yeah, Martial by far. I mean, look, Shaw, yes, Shaw has started every game this Premier League season for United, which I'm surprised by. Stat boy, check me on that. There may be one off there. But Martial's goal this weekend was unbelievable. And this man, every time he starts, puts us in a better situation than when Sanchez does. So, Martial.
I definitely agree with you, Shay. I think Shay might be on track to proving us all wrong, Chris. And it's going to be an embarrassing day.
Just to refresh everybody, we made a bet, I think 2 years ago, 2016, and I said that Martial would be a top three striker by 2022. Is that right, Chris?
In the world, yeah.
In the world or the Premier League?
Dead wrong. Ooh, no, you said in the world.
Top three? Yeah.
Well, maybe I said top five.
You said in the world. Okay. And you're dead wrong.
Okay, next question.
It won't happen.
Next question.
Also, just to quickly answer that question, neither Shaw or Martial have the biggest globe of 2018. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Well, it was a comparison.
If anyone, it's like Icardi.
But I think it was a question one versus the other, not like.
No.
Okay.
I can't even entertain that.
All right, we got a couple minutes here, guys. What's next?
This one's from Brett Price on Twitter. Brett Bungetti, will Fulham break the most goals conceded record? Yes.
Dude, they will break the most goals conceded record by Christmas. They are twice as many goals conceded as Crystal Palace. Plus goals on top of that.
Guys, just for the record, Derby County conceded 89 goals in 2007, 2008. They were so bad. I think they only got like 11 points.
Goals?
Dude.
Damn. But, it's like 3 goals a game.
Oh, but guys, I mean, Fulham has conceded 28 in 10 games. Yeah. I mean, they could very well hit. They're on pace to hit like 105.
What is 89? 89 is like 2.5 goals per game.
Bad.
2.4 goals
it's
per game.
Bad. It's
Fulham
real
is
bad.
At 25 to 10. So
I will say, if they keep playing McDonald and Ream back there, I mean, those guys are so slow on the counter. I love Tim Ream, but man, I mean, he looks like me in DC's WPL league. I mean, just they need to adjust their speed. They need to hit the gym. They need to hit the treadmill. These guys are looking slow
Fulham,
on the counter
Fulham,
every play.
Fulham gives up the most goal in Premier League history and they get relegated dead last, then I think we officially have no claim to being a soccer podcast.
Shay, I don't understand how you think we have any claim to have a podcast now. I mean, we need to end that.
Yeah,
we need to end that rumor. Guys, we're running low on time. A lot more questions, but the last one that didn't make the air last week that I want to bring up really quickly is chili a soup?
Chili is a soup. It has been polled, tried, and tested this past weekend at Chris's wonderful barbecue. We had all parties involved, all
this
minorities, and chili was decided as a soup.
Not a soup.
It's definitely
not a soup.
It's definitely not a soup.
Definitely not a soup.
We need to make this a poll. We need to make this a poll. As I said,
we have made it
be a soup.
We have made it a poll, but I don't understand how can a soup be so thick like shakiri. I mean, like, it's just not a soup. At that point, it's a hearty meal. It's an entree. It's got beans, meat, elements. It's got other
beans,
elements
beans,
in
potatoes,
it.
Potatoes, tomatoes, ham, beef, pork, right?
Hey, we're getting close to Thanksgiving.
We're getting close
to
Thanksgiving.
I mean, I really don't understand. Give me three reasons why it's a soup.
Three reasons why it's a soup. One, it can be eaten by itself. A soup is a standalone meal in some places, and chili.
You can
is
have
a
chili
meal.
By yourself.
Exactly, that's my point. That's why it's a soup. Soup is a standalone meal. That's one reason. Okay.
No. Okay. Hold on. No. Based on that logic, like you can have a hot dog by itself. Is that a soup?
Come on, man.
What does that even
mean? Come on, man. I can't look. This argument's over. This argument's over. Let's not do this. We don't have the time or the energy nor the battery power to have this right now. So, Miles, is chili a soup or a stew? Or no, sorry, is chili
a
soup?
No, it's not a soup. Not a soup.
Not a soup.
No way.
No, Shay. I mean, really.
You can if someone says, "Hey, Shay, do you want a meal? Do you want an entree? Do you want an appetizer? Whatever. I'm giving you one thing, and you can only eat that one thing that's liquid based." And I can say, "Okay, satisfied with that." If someone gave me chili, I would say, "That's it. I'm satisfied." You can only do that with soups. You can't have anything liquid based.
This argument is very indicative.
Yeah.
This argument is very indicative of our banter on this show and of our logic on the show. Anyways, thank you, Snake Simpson, on Twitter, the 30-year-old Virgo. We will continue this debate throughout the season. And I think
Great
by the
question.
End of the season, guys, we need to come to a full
conclusion on this chili situation.
I think we need to all agree in a unanimous decision on whether it is a chili or is whether chili is a soup or not.
Well, we'll save that for like an annual debate. And I think Jacob agrees with me because that's the part lost footage. That's why Chris deleted it because he didn't like it.
Jacob said it was a soup.
But anyway, Chris, this is not your show. This is my show today. So I'd like to thank you all for listening. If you like this podcast today, especially because it was hosted by me, Shay Davis, comments at us. We are trying to start a movement. Chris Bowbank out. Say it with me, boss. Say it with me, boss. Chris Bowbank out.
Hit me with that. Bowerbank out. Damn.
All right, guys. Damn. Well, hey, listen, it's always a pleasure. Chris, hit us with some dope outro music, and we'll catch y'all later.
Again, you can find us on acrossthepond.co.
Oh, yeah, that too.
iTunes,
Stitcher.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify,
Zoom Marketplace,
at HD Radio on Twitter. Make sure you join us in our prediction league and more. We will see you guys soon.
Peace.
Peace, guys. Yeah.